Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation, then you are born again and you are filled with the Spirit. We're continuing to talk about the Holy Spirit, and we are all connected with Christians around the world and Christians who've already gone on before us who are also in the Spirit. Once you're in the Holy Spirit, you're in the Holy Spirit forever and all eternity. That's a beautiful thing. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as we find some discussion about Him in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We've been exploring how the Old Testament and New Testament give us a really good picture of who the person of the Holy Spirit is and how He intersects our lives. And so chapter 3, Paul is writing. And the book of Galatians, he's mainly writing to people who think you've got to live up to the law to be saved, that you've got to do all these various things, you've got to go through the checklist, and if you go through the checklist just right, then you'll win salvation. You know, there's only two religions in the world, right? There's saved by works, and there's saved by grace. Christianity is the only religion in the world that says you're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. There are denominations in our world who believe that the more works you do, the more credit you get, and the higher up into heaven you get. So there are some that believe there's 7 levels of heaven, right? And if you do enough works, there's only so many of you that can make it in there. And if you do more works than your neighbor does, you're going to bump them out of the 7th heaven. How about that religion, right? It's a very prominent religion. If you work hard enough, you bump the next guy off and you wind up being in the 7th heaven, just you and God, right? Those lower levels, maybe they get to see Him occasionally, but you get to be with them all the time. Craziness. So two religions, saved by faith through grace, right? Saved by grace through faith, and works religion. So Paul is writing. He's saying, you guys signed up for Jesus, saved by grace, and now you're trying to work your way into heaven. You can't have it both ways is what he's trying to say. And so we get to chapter 3. And he's trying to explain it to him. He says, you foolish Galatians, right? You're foolish. Your thinking is foolish here. Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Holy Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you have heard? And so he gives this illustration. He says, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, says in Genesis 18:18. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. That's Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Clearly no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's in Deuteronomy 21, 23. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Well, several really good teachings here. First off, he says, you began with the Holy Spirit as the person who brings salvation into your life, but now you've reverted back to working your way to God. He's saying, You can't have it both ways. He calls him foolish, right? He calls him foolish in your thinking. It would be like us driving a car and all of a sudden thinking that riding a tricycle is better, right? How many of you could ride a tricycle right now? I see three hands. Hard time, right?
A big one.
A big one? Okay. Those of you watching online this morning, how many of you could ride a tricycle right now, right? How many of you prefer to drive a car as opposed to driving a tricycle? Okay, I see all those hands. Those of you who can't drive yet, I see those hands too. Okay, Silas is raising his hand back there. Right? So that's the contrast he's making. He said, are you crazy? You can drive a car, but you're driving a tricycle. You can live by faith, or you can continue to try to work your way into heaven. There's only two religions, right? And so it says, after beginning this way, why are you going back? It's crazy. And so it gives this example, Abraham, right? It was a credit to Abraham's faith. Abraham was a man of faith. And God gave him a promise and said, you're going to be the father of many nations, right? Many people. And Abraham believed because he had faith in God. And God made it so. And he says, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. You and I share in the same faith of Abraham when we trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for our salvation. The same faith that he had, we share in. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it says, curses is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law. So you can take the 613 laws found in the Old Testament, and you can work really hard at obeying them, but you're still under a curse, right? This curse that's waiting to come down upon you. Because here's the thing, nobody can obey all 613 laws. All of their life, every day of their life, it's impossible, right? Anybody in here ever mess up and make a mistake? Okay. Edna, I don't see Edna's hand. I can believe that. She's just a bag of sugar back there, right? You messed up one time, is that? Every day. Right? So the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. Everybody in the room, everybody listening online, we're all sinners. Right? And so Paul is saying, look, if you keep trying to work your way into heaven, this curse is still going to be on top of you, right? And when you get to heaven, when you get the judgment seat of Christ, if you said, I've tried to live up to the law, the curse is still going to be upon you because you failed. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? He said, man, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, great, I'd love to have you be a follower of me. Now, go sell everything you own and come and follow me. And the Bible says he went away sad, right? We don't know exactly why, but perhaps he loved his treasures too much. Perhaps he knew it would take him several years to auction off all of his stuff and Jesus would be gone by then. Regardless, he had all this stuff and he said, I've lived up to all the laws. And Jesus said, well, go sell your stuff. Let's just see. Let's see how committed you are, right, to following me. And so the same word comes to us. We say we want to follow and Jesus says, well, give up some stuff and obey some more rules. And well, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. Then he says, just trust me by faith. And we said, I'll take that one. I'll trust you by faith. And then he says, verse 13, Christ redeemed us. Christ redeemed you. If you're listening online, Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hung on the tree. Jesus hung on the tree, right? So that he could redeem us. Remember, the Old Testament, the old covenant, the old contract, right, was that you had a contract with God, you had a covenant with God, where you had to match up with all the laws. You had to fulfill all the laws. And if you didn't, you went to a priest and said, hey, I messed up this year. And he offered a sacrifice for you to cover the sins that you messed up on. And every year you had to do this, right? That's the old covenant, the old testament, the old way of relating to God. The new way of relating to God is Jesus went to the Father and said, Father, in this lifetime, 33 years, I will fulfill every one of the laws exactly like you want me to do. And the Father said, okay, let's make that covenant. So the New Testament, the new covenant, they mean the same thing. The new contract, that's not the best word, but you understand it that way. The new contract, the new covenant is between God and Jesus. Jesus fulfilled all the laws to God. God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. He did everything right. And then he died on the cross for our sins, He'd never committed to sin. He died on the cross for our sins. And now he lives forever with God, lives forever with us in our hearts. He always has been, always will be. And he has the covenant with God, and he filled it full already. And then we come along and we have a relationship with Jesus. That's the good news. You can have a relationship with Jesus who fills the covenant full with God. It's already taken care of. You don't have to match up with all those laws anymore because Jesus already did it. Amen. You simply join with Jesus and have a relationship with him. He fills you with the Holy Spirit, and you walk in the Spirit-filled life for all eternity. Now, that's good news. Amen. You don't have to do a thing in the way of fulfilling a law to be born again. Just trust in Jesus. I'm trusting in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. Jesus hung on a tree. He died for our sins. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham a long, long time ago might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Here we find the Holy Spirit is a promise given to us, right? Proving to us that we're born again. All right, let's move on. Chapter 3 and 5, verse 26. It says, you're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What this is saying is, it doesn't matter what your background is, right? It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. If you're trusting in Jesus, we are all one in Christ. That's beautiful. Because under the Jewish system, you had to be a Jewish person and fulfill the Jewish law to continue to be part of the Jewish society. And the scripture's saying here, no, it's wide open. For whosoever will may come, right? For whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Christ shall be born again. Chapter 4, verse 1. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So here's what he's saying. You can have an inheritance waiting on you as a child, right? But until you become the child, you can't access the inheritance. You know the story of the prodigal son? When the younger brother got to the age where he could access his inheritance, probably 12, he said, I want my money, Dad. And so Dad said, okay, you're legally 12 years old. You're legally a man. You're legally a child. Here's your money. Best of luck to you. And he went off and squandered it all. We know the rest of the story. But he's saying, as long as you haven't accessed, right, the inheritance, the Holy Spirit here is what he's talking about, then you're still a slave. But once you become a son, you have full access to the Holy Spirit. What he's saying here is that when you're born again, you are a born-again adult spiritually in the Spirit. There's no childhood. We think we have to grow into the Holy Spirit. Now, we certainly have to learn who the Holy Spirit is. But you don't get a Happy Meal portion of the Holy Spirit when you get born again. Right? You are born again as a full child, as a full adult, as a full having full access to all the inheritance. You don't have to figure it out. You know, I got to go to this class, got to go to that class, and maybe 10 years from now I'll understand it. No, the Holy Spirit's just there, and you're just there in the Holy Spirit. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, boy, that's a great passage. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons. Full rights. When you are born again, you have full rights. Most believers never access their full rights. Right? They think they have to continue to try to figure it out. No, it's just there. Just walk in the Spirit. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son Now, this is not a different spirit other than the Holy Spirit. He's referring to the Holy Spirit, right? The Father sends the Holy Spirit. The Son sends the Holy Spirit. Because you are sons and daughters of God, God sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir to the inheritance. Now, several things here. Jesus offers us salvation. The Father offers us sonship. When you say yes to Jesus, Jesus offers you salvation. Yes, Jesus, I'm trusting in you. At that moment, the Father offers you sonship and says, you're now a son. And the Spirit offers you sanctification. That is, becoming more like Christ, becoming more like the Son. You're already the Son. The Holy Spirit helps us to become who we are. Right? The Holy Spirit helps us to become a son or a daughter. You're already that. You just have to become that. We see three things about this, this whole idea of being brought in and adopted as sons. There's the deliverance, there's the adoption, and there's the reception. Now, we have a little fellow that's recently been adopted, right, into our congregation, into our fellowship. He first had to be delivered, right? Delivered in the sense of being birthed in this room, but delivered from where he was to where he was going to be, right? He was here in this family. He was delivered from this family into this family. And once this family had received the deliverance, they then had to adopt, fill out some paperwork, you know, sign their life away, two arms and three legs, right? Amen or oh me? I see that. Four legs. It costs you four legs. I feel that pain back there. So there had to be this adoption process, right? And then there had to be the receiving process where we receive and we bring him into our home. You see the process? There's deliverance from this home. There's the formality of the adoption. And then there's the receiving into the new home. We were done the same way. We were delivered from our old way of life, the bondage, the sin that we were living in. We became adopted. The paperwork was filled out. It was signed in the blood of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. And then now we're received into the Father's home as sons and daughters with full access to everything. The Bible says that we're seated in heavenly places right now. Already, you are seated there. That means you're already adopted. You're already in place. You're already a son or daughter of the Most High God in all of its fullest extent. You will never be more a son or a daughter of God than you are right now. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. You see, full sonship. We're brought in this full sonship through faith in Christ Jesus. What we see here, it says, is God sent his son, right? God sent his son. And then he sent the Spirit, in verse 6. And now, watch this. He's sending us as sons and daughters. God sent his son for our behalf. Then he sent the Spirit to equip us and to guide us and to encourage us. And then he sends us as sons. Acts 1:8, right? We're sent. The Spirit fills us to go into Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And then let's move on quickly. Chapter 5, verse 16. Chapter 5, verse 16. So now that we're sons, how shall we live? How shall we move and have our being? Oh, yeah, one other thing about this Abba Father, it's a tender conversation with the Father. It's not an approach where we have to bow down and humble ourselves and say the these, the thous, and the those, right? It's Abba Father. That's how Jesus taught us to pray, Abba Father. It's a very tender term, right? So when we come to the Father, it's very tender, right? All right, so verse 16, chapter 5, verse 16. So I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you cannot do what you want to. You ever discovered that? You really want to wake up at 7 in the morning and go for a 5-mile run, right, Spencer? You really want to do that. But somehow the flesh comes against it and says, I just don't know. Let's wake up at 8 and go for a 5-minute run. And maybe a 2-minute run, right? That's what Paul is saying. Some, these things war against each other. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, right? Now, the acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. If you don't want to know about that, don't read the news at all. Right? Impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this habitually will not inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't say you can't stumble into sin, but it's saying if you willfully choose to live like this, you will go to hell in a heartbeat, and you will stay there for all eternity. Right? This is not the wandering in, stepping in a pothole from time to time, like we all do. But if you willfully choose to live like this, you will burn in hell for all eternity. That's what he's saying. That's it. That's the issue. We can choose to live like that, right? And we can choose to live in hell. Or we can say, Jesus Christ, I need help with my sins. Will you please help me? And he says yes. And trusting in him, we live forever in heaven. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Okay, scratch that out of your Bible. I'll take that out for a moment. Just kidding. Right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So the Spirit will never lead you to these sinful acts. He will lead you away from them. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. And then chapter 6. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, that is filled with the Holy Spirit, should restore him gently, but watch out, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens in the way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man sows, reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So we should be trying to please the Spirit. We should sow that way. You know the law of the harvest, right? You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow. And you reap more than you sow. Right? So choose wisely, sow in the Spirit. And we sow in the Spirit by sowing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So Paul is closing out saying that we should sow in this life to please the Holy Spirit. And the best way to do that is just wake up every morning and say, Holy Spirit, what do we need to do today? Right? And he'll say, well, go to work. You got a job. I gave you a job to do. You got a paycheck to earn. I gave you the opportunity to earn that paycheck. And in the course of your day, I'll let you know when I need you. Right? That's how the Holy Spirit works in our life if we just ask. Amen? So if you want to please the Spirit this week, just start every day with asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how can I please you? And see what happens. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit into our lives. Thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to die on the cross for us and to come back to life and live within us. Thank you, Jesus, for taking the sin of the world into your body when you died on that cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our guide, our comforter, our teacher. Come, Holy Spirit, now just have your way with us. Teach us, guide us, correct us, convict us, challenge us, heal us, put us on the right track. Help us to stay in step with you. Come, Holy Spirit, the Ruach Yahweh. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us. For we pray in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel. God with us, we pray. Amen.